Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, reading verse 1. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision." Heavenly Father, once again we come to you. And my prayer today is that you would send conviction to the people, that your convicting spirit would be upon the broadcast. Lord, convict the people that they should walk right before God and cleave to sound doctrine. Give them understanding. Help them to see Jesus, as I often pray. And Lord, let this preacher, this evangelist, decrease. Lord, speak to your people. And I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And as I mentioned last week, I'm a bit sick. I'm congested. It's sometimes hard for me to even breathe. So I'll ask that you be patient and put up with this frog that's trying to preach to you today. In our study of Daniel, we've come to the end. This is chapter 10. There are two more chapters after this. But these three chapters go together. We find, beginning in verse 2, that Daniel is seeking the Lord. We're not really told specifically what he's praying for, but we can infer that it had to do with the prophetic visions that he had been receiving from the Lord. But Daniel prays and fasts and seeks the Lord for 3 weeks. And finally, an angel appears to him. And this angel, who doesn't identify himself, tells him why it took 21 days for God's answer to come, the angel being the answer. We can assume that Daniel was praying for understanding, but again, we're not told exactly what he's praying for. But at any rate, he begins to pray and to fast and to seek the Lord, and an angel shows up 21 days later. The angel makes a statement that he was withstood by Satan, that God had heard the prayer of Daniel 3 weeks earlier, and the angel was sent immediately. But it took 3 weeks for the angel to get there. It says in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia." But in verse 14, the next verse, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days." Again, a verse I've referred to a number of times in our study. But the angel appears, he explains his tardiness, he interacts with Daniel a little bit. Then at the end of this chapter, he says, I've got to go back and fight this angel. And he mentions yet another prince, the prince of Grisha. But he says in verse 21, the last verse of this chapter, But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that withholdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. I have to go back, Daniel, to fight with these spiritual beings. But let me tell you what's going to happen to your people in the latter days before I go. And in chapter 11 and 12, the angel gives his teaching or his explanation of the latter days. We've seen in the prophecies given to Daniel in chapter 7, for instance, and in chapter 8, that certain kingdoms that arose throughout history that were future to Daniel are described perfectly. Daniel said to the king of Babylon way back in chapter 2, King, thou art this head of gold, but other kingdoms are going to rise after you. The Medes and the Persians, then the Grecian Empire, or the Empire of Greece, started by Alexander the Great, and then the Roman Empire would arise. But up until now, we're given brief overviews, some little bit of information, but not really any kind of detail. But a common theme in all of his visions and dreams is this. There will be various kingdoms to arise that will interact with Israel or oppress Israel. But in the end, Christ returns from heaven to rescue his people Israel. And if you're just tuning in, just tuning across the dial, listening, and you don't really know anything about Christianity, you're just listening on a lark, you may say that that statement is foolish, maybe the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life. But the message of the Word of God is this, that men are sinners, that men need to look to God. You can look in the newspaper or turn on CNN and see that this world has a lot of problems. Science, medicine, politics, sociology, whatever field of study you want to look at. All of these different efforts of man try to fix the problems. But at least in the political realm, things get worse and worse. In the social realm, things get worse and worse. Truly, Jesus Christ is the only answer to the problems of this world. Sure, if we're sick, we can go to the doctor, we can get some help. But ultimately, God healeth thee. A favorite verse of mine says that when a certain evening came, all the people in the town where Christ happened to be, they came to him, asking to be healed of whatever disease they happened to have. And it says that Jesus Christ healed everyone that came to him. It's my opinion that man's problem today is that he does not come to God asking for help. We should look to God. We should take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there, as you hear me say every time I close out this program. We should trust in God. We should look to Him. We should turn to Him. We should depend upon Him. Certainly, if you get sick or injured, go to the doctor, by all means. But trust God on the way. Believe God on the way. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, the Bible says, and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. But the verse doesn't stop there. It also says this: And if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Think of that. Jesus Christ can heal the body, but he can forgive sins as well. He can take care of you financially. He can take care of you emotionally, psychologically. Whatever your trouble is, look to God. And we know that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and rose up the third day. But the rest of that story is this, that one day Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to judge it. Men are sinners. We understand that. God has given us a way to be reconciled to God, and that's to put our trust in Jesus Christ, believing that he died for our sins. But one day, time will be up. One day, it'll be too late, and Jesus Christ will come to this earth to set up his kingdom, which shall not ever be destroyed. And we studied about that in chapter 2 of Daniel. That great stone came from heaven and smote that image and destroyed that image. The image, the head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, and the legs iron and part iron and clay. In other words, the kingdoms of this world one day are going to fall. They're going to crumble. They're going to be destroyed. And in their place, Jesus Christ will rule. He will rule. He will reign. He will set up his government. And that's going to be a wonderful place. And I'm looking for that day. I'm waiting for that day. I'm wishing and hoping and looking for that day. But let's take a look at the text. Let's read the Word of God to see what God has to say about the end of the world. As I read a bit ago, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. It says, In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Now that phrase right there, that first half of that verse, it says a lot to me. It mentions Daniel, who in the first chapter of this book is named by the king of Babylon, Belteshazzar. But the kingdom of Babylon fell, and the Medes and the Persians conquered them and took their place. But in the end of this book, again, Daniel is living not under Babylon, but under a Persian king. But it mentions his name, his nickname or what have you, that was given to him by the previous kingdom, Belteshazzar. But it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. We know from history that there were a series of Babylonian kings and Persian kings. And we also studied here in Daniel that Persia, or the kingdom of Persia, was foretold. But this specific king, King Cyrus, he was also foretold. The book of Daniel takes place during the captivity of Israel, when Israel was carried away captive into Babylon because of their sin, idolatry, and rebellion. And at the end of 70 years, Babylon fell, and the Medes and the Persians took over that kingdom. The prophet Isaiah lived before that time, probably hundreds of years before Cyrus was even born. But in Isaiah chapter 44 and 45, he mentions Cyrus by name. In chapter 44, God is speaking. And at the end of this chapter, we can start at verse 27, that saith to the deep, Be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. And this last verse, verse 28, that saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation is laid. I don't know about you, but that makes me shout. That makes me happy. As I'm recording this, I had to stop the recorder and weep before the Lord. I'm so glad that God watches over us, and He has plans for us. I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. Before Israel was carted off to Babylon, before the 70 years of captivity even began, God speaks to Isaiah the prophet to say that there will be a king named Cyrus who will say to Jerusalem, Be thou built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. The captivity was God's hand of judgment on His people. They had done dreadfully wrong in continuing to worship false gods, in continuing to be rebellious before God, in refusing to listen to the voice of God. They didn't want the things of God, they wanted to go their own way. And God essentially took a stick to His children. He brought them to Babylon for 70 years, where they wept and cried and repented. And we've read Daniel's prayer and Nehemiah's prayer of repentance. And King Cyrus is kind to the Jews. He extends mercy to the Jews. And he helps send them back to Jerusalem. He helps to build the temple. But again, Isaiah names him by name hundreds of years before the king is even born. Israel deserved punishment. There's no question, because God hates idolatry and He hates rebellion. But we see the plan of God, that this 70-year captivity, this punishment, was for Israel's good and not for evil. And we see the things that are precious to God and the things that should be precious to God's people. The temple of God, the foundations of the temple, and the city, Jerusalem. For the Christian, the things that should be important to us are the city of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. We should have our eyes on heaven and not the things down here. And the temple of God, which is a picture of Jesus Christ and our fellowship with Him. We should keep Calvary first in our minds. We should keep the wonderful, precious, horrible sacrifice of Jesus Christ when He hung on the cross and shed His blood. We should keep that foremost in our minds. I was reading this morning while I was preparing for this message in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We as Christians, we know what it means to be forgiven of our sins. We know what it means to have the 1,000-pound weight lifted off our shoulders the moment we say yes to the Lord Jesus and put our trust in Him. We know what it's like to have the joys of heaven in our heart. We know what it's like to know that God approves of us and cares for us and is watching over us. Let your conversation or your way of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. I'd like a better vehicle. My truck is 16 years old. It's been in 2 wrecks. It's falling apart. I had to replace a clutch, an air conditioner, and I had to put a shift kit in just a couple of days ago. I'd like something better, but I'm content with my beat-up old work truck. I'm content with the life that God has given me. I'd like to have more. I'd like to be able to get ahead a little bit, perhaps, in life. But I'm content. I'm not covetous. And I'm content because I know the things that God has done in my heart and life. I've testified on this program of my life before Christ. The despair, the depression, the horror that I lived through before I got saved. But if you've listened to that particular broadcast where I told of my conversion experience and the peace of God that flooded into my heart, I tell you, there's no comparison between then and now. There's simply no comparison. I'm content with the things I have, because I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know that Jesus has set me free, and I'm on my way to heaven. And I know, as Matthew chapter 28 says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll be with you even to the end of the age. I've got heaven in my soul and heaven in my sights. To me, it doesn't matter what kind of car I drive or how much stuff I have. My treasure's in heaven, and that's where my eyes are. And I would encourage you, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
See?
you've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.